All right, the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 18. And Yahweh Elohim said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And out of the ground, Yahweh Elohim formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which Yahweh Elohim had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." And then we go into chapter 3 and we read the story of the temptation of this woman, Adam's wife, and their fall. And let us go down and begin with verse 12, or verse 11. "And he said," that is Yahweh, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? How hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And Yahweh Elohim said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" The woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now verse 15 is what is called the Protoevangelium, which means the first gospel message in the Bible. Genesis 3:15 is the first gospel promise. "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Now my text is the next verse. "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." Oh, it's a strange verse sitting in a paradox of some negative circumstances. If I was Adam at that moment and I saw what Eve had done, notice he blamed her. "It wasn't my fault, God. It was the woman you gave me. It's her fault. I'm really a good fella. It's her that made me do it." He's trying to blame everything on her. Nevertheless, the death sentence came, and all of a sudden they're dead spiritually. They're cut off. They're naked. They've lost the spiritual light and glory that was upon them. And then as a result of the pronouncement of the curse upon the woman and the curse upon Adam and the curse upon the ground, Adam pops up in the middle of this curse and he looks at his wife and he said, "Thou shalt be called Eve." And it really thrills the hearers here today, I can see that. See, the problem is that you do not understand what he just said. In the midst of the curse, he begins to pronounce his wife's name. Now, in Genesis chapter 2 and 3, his wife has three names. Only Eve is one of them. That's not her only name, you know. Or did you know? Now, if you know anything about Eve at all, the Hebrew word for Eve, which is explained in verse 20, the reason he called his wife's name Eve is because she was the mother of life. And he pronounces this name upon her as the mother of life after just receiving the death sentence. The strange paradox is that if he was consistent with the verbiage from Yahweh, it would have been, "Thou shalt be called death, because death came from you, O woman." That's the way a lot of people read it. But you see, Adam evidently didn't have the ability to understand what took place. And so in the midst of the curse and in the midst of the death, he looks at her and he pronounces blessing upon her and life upon her and prophesies over his wife in the midst of a fallen condition. Now, either Adam was strange or Adam was sick or Adam was anointed. I'll let you be the judge of that. But let's just analyze something for a moment. We go back into Genesis chapter 2. And in verse 18, he said, "I'm going to make Adam a help meet." It's not a help mate, it's a help meet. The Hebrew word for help meet there means I'm going to make someone who will complement you, who will complete you, who will fulfill you. Without her, you cannot be fulfilled. Without her, your destiny will be just a drop short. I'm going to make someone who will be able to complete you. Without her, you'll never be complete. Amazing thing is, in holding over the years a number of marriage seminars, the strongest point that I try to get into people is that the male can never think like the female, and the female can never think like the male. And then when you get kids, you try to figure out how come the kids don't get along. You already got problems from the very beginning. Children don't understand the parents. Parents don't understand the children. And if an adult male doesn't go along with an adult female, what do you think a child, male child and a female child is going to do? There are short changes here. The very nature of the mother, which is related, first of all, to the man and related to children. There is no such thing to be a mother separate from husband and separate from children. A mother involves husband relationship, children relationship, which is both male-female. And upon in the book of Deuteronomy, when Yahweh gives to Moses certain laws for the families of Israel to raise in their culture a certain way of life, a lifestyle, he commands that the mother and the father be respected. They are on an equal term, religiously speaking, and referring to what is called their respect level. The mothers don't think like fathers. They're not supposed to. It's all right. It's all right to think differently. The only problem is that to think differently doesn't mean that the other side's thinking wrong. It's that the female was designed by creation to see a certain viewpoint, and the male was designed to see it from a different viewpoint altogether, and it's when you take these two viewpoints and put them together, you have a complete viewpoint. So that together they form that viewpoint, and that total viewpoint is what's to be conveyed to the child. Well, the danger is if a male conveys, if the father conveys to his daughters the male standpoint, or if the mother conveys to the son the female viewpoint, then you end up with a distortion, just as you would if the father conveys to the son the male viewpoint, and if the mother conveys to the daughter the female viewpoint. And what happens is you get a one-sided characteristic until there are now four divisions within a family. That was not the way it was designed to be. I'm going to make a helpmate. One that will complement, where you realize that without the other, it's not going to work. We need that unity factor. And then we read down in verse 21 to 23 how she was made. And Adam pops up the moment she's born and said, "Thou art bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." But Genesis 5:2 gives us the other name of Eve. Genesis 5:2 says, "Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created." Can you all read that? What was Eve's name? Adam. Can you see that? Adam and Eve were both called Adam. She was also called, is she, as we've explained. Go back to verse 23. Adam said, "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." In the Hebrew, she shall be called ishi, I-S-H-I. For from ish, I-S-H, were you taken. The only difference in Hebrew between a man and a woman is the letter I, which is just a simple little vowel that has a very slight pronunciation. The man is ish. The woman is ishi. And he wakes up from surgery and he looks at her and instantly he knows her and says to her, "You are she." Now it tells us that their name was Adam and her name was she. And this is how they lived gloriously before there was a fall. And the moment that there was a fall, something took place. There was a curse that took place. The light left their bodies. Death sentence came upon them. They fell into a natural realm of existence. And instantly in the pronunciation of the curse, Adam looks out upon the curse of this earth, the curse of their own bodies, and prophetically speaking, prophesies over his ishi, and says to her, "Thou shalt be called Eve." Eve is a strange name in Hebrew. In fact, Eve is a part of the three letters of Eve in Hebrew are three of the four letters of the name of Yahweh. The Tetragrammaton, the four letters. We pronounce it the YHWH. Only the Y is left off of Eve's name. It's the HWH. It's written Eve, but in Hebrew it's HWH. Instead of Yahweh, you leave off the Yah, you got Yahweh. Why does he pronounce the name, the last three letters of Yahweh, upon his wife in the midst of the curse? Because in Exodus 3:14, Yahweh says, "I am that I am," which is the pronouncing in Hebrew of the very essence of He who is life. It literally means the only one who is alive. And again, the same letters are used in the root form of the verb. And here they take the root name of Yahweh and His eternal existence, and He lays it upon His wife Eve. "Thou shalt be called Yahweh," Eve, "the mother of all living." Now the Bible tells us that in Adam all die. Isn't that right? In Adam all die. We know genetically speaking that the male can only produce a dying progeny. We know that death is in the blood. Any person that has blood flowing through their veins is going to die. You are a doomed, dying person. And the blood comes from the male seed. It does not come from the female. When the death sentence came, it came upon man. It did not come upon woman. Else, we couldn't have had another woman through whom the Holy Spirit overshadowed and brought forth the Messiah by divine birth in a mother who was called the Living One. It is interesting that we find two women in the Bible both related to Adam. We find that Eve was called Adam. She was the wife of Adam, and she also carried the name of Adam. And then we find that another woman in the New Testament by the name of Mary, the mother of Yeshua, her name in Hebrew, Miriam, means sorrow. trouble, persecution. There's nothing sweet about the name of Mary. Yet, did you know that in the current 20th century, there's over 5 million women who have been named Mary out of recognition of her? Not because of what her name means, but because she brought forth the Messiah. Everybody wants to lay some goodness on them. They see somebody who was a beautiful mother, and they say, I want that name on my child, and they name their child Mary. But Mary doesn't mean delight. Mary means sorrow, trouble. Eve means life. Now here's a woman with life who brought sorrow, and here's a woman with sorrow, and she brings life. Total contradiction, isn't it? Seems strange, two mothers. And the interesting thing was the son called himself the son of Adam, so here's the mother of Adam. Now Eve was the wife of Adam, and Yeshua's mother was Miriam. We have two mothers, both connected to Adam. Just want to point that out as we get into this little study. I just want you mothers to understand something. Over the last 8 years, as I've preached on Mother's Day, we've tried to share with you a theme, and I'm not going to try to get you caught up because it's a tape that's complete within itself. Some of you have heard it, some of you have not heard it, and I can't make you understand an hour message in itself in 2 minutes, so I'm not going to try. I'm just going to recapitulate the message that we now know that as the seed and the egg come together in fertilization, the first 8 cells that are formed are what are called life cells. These cells come from the female, and around the female child that is being born, the first 8 cells are eternal cells. They're called life cells. They can never be destroyed. And out of these, when the 9th cell begins to develop, the 9th cell begins to develop the child. The first 8 cells only carry on the guarantee of life. And there is no death in those 8 cells. It's only found in woman. How did Adam know that? That's why a mother can bring forth children. Men can't. Although some women would love to see it. Most women at some point would love to see their man have a baby. Just to let them know. There's real pain. There is pain besides having a husband. There's pain in bearing children to that husband. But apart from all of the so-called fun and humor that we have sometimes between the male and the female situation, we want to take a look at why did Father make this unique engineering device to be this way? Eve was a marvelous mother, and I'd like to share some things about Eve that most of us have probably never even thought of. Eve was unique. In fact, I want to bring to you several things that Eve had. She was the first woman. She was the first mother ever to live upon this earth. Well, think about that for a moment. She's the one that started the race of Adam, right? She was the first Adamite. She was the first mother. What do you think the first mother was like? I mean, all the rest of you mothers, you're just the end result of that first mother. But it was all tied up in her. She was the first mother. Second, Eve was the first woman to ever be called a wife. Third, she was the most beautiful woman the world has ever known. Now, that's what I want to get across to you today. Eve was the most beautiful. If you could take all of... I remember sometime I read a magazine about 2 years ago, and some person with a computer put into the computer the prettiest element of every woman there was. In other words, they took all the movie stars and they said, well, she has the prettiest nose, and this movie star has the prettiest eyes, and this movie star has the prettiest lips, and this movie star has the prettiest ears. And so this computer wanted to figure out what would happen if you took the most beautiful things of every part of a woman and put them together. What kind of a woman would you have? So they decided to come up with what they called the perfect, beautiful number 10. I'm not referring to any movie. It's in the movie, she definitely was not a 10. No woman is a 10 unless you are in Christ. Only Christ can make you a 10. You might be an 8, but you'll never be a 10 without Christ. But when this computer decided to put it together, they decided one day they were going to post this picture, and so they had the most beautiful nose, the most beautiful eyes, the most beautiful lips, and I don't know if you understand this or not, but those of you that are computer buffs know that a computer cannot put out a perfect picture. You could see that the nose was sewed on. You could see that the eyes were put in. You could see that the ears were hanging. And although they were the most beautiful, that did not fit into the symmetry, it was not a good engineering device. But if you take the absolute biological aspects of our nature and understand that nature can only produce what's in the original seed, and if the first seed was pure and the first seed was beautiful, remember that the Eternal Himself made her. She was not born. Eve was never born. Eve was never a child. Eve never had a mother or a father. Eve was instantly made an adult. And because she came from the hands of the Creator, He made His image in her as well as him. She was the most beautiful woman that ever existed. And if you ever saw a beauty mark on any woman, you can trace it back to Eve. And the further we get from Eve, the more ugly marks we get. Some of us are a long way from Adam and Eve, aren't we? I look in the mirror and I realize I'm a long way from Father Adam. And some of you may feel the same way. But there's a second Adam who came to restore new life, new hope, new provision. And in Christ, we're all going to be beautiful again. Nothing worse than to lose your beauty and then wonder how you're going to get it back. There's nothing that grieves me more when I read true stories of serious illnesses leading to death, where somebody had cancer and they lost all of their hair. A woman's hair is her glory. Or a woman has a mastectomy, loses her femininity, so they say. The image that is produced when you feel no longer like a human being, it's devastating to the ego. But you know what? There's no hope in those circumstances as a rule. But the Savior comes and says, I am your hope. I am the life. Eve was the mother of all living, and she took the name of the Eternal, and He said, I'm going to keep the name of life among your breed, and every time you think of the word mother, I want you to think of my life, for I am the resurrection, and I am the life, and you cannot think of Eve without thinking of life above death. A woman's love is greater than death. Her son, her children may become the most abominable kids on this earth, but she loves them to the end. No one can ever take the place of a mother's love. The kid could be a brat. No one loves that kid. Mama does. The things that happen because of a mother's love. You know what? There isn't a mother alive that doesn't have this ability. And unfortunately, sometimes on this scene of earth, mothers are not recognized. Because the fathers of those homes never took the time to teach their children about the uniqueness of their mother. It shouldn't have to come from the mother, it should come from the father. It's the father's job to build up the woman of the house, not the woman's job. Just as it is her job to build up the man of the house. They're helpmates. They are there designed to rebuild the other one. When a man gives to a woman what she deserves, then she will easily convey to those children what they deserve. And it's in that mold of love and sharing as children are raised. But nothing can ever shake the foundations of a mother. That in the midst of the curse, in the midst of sorrow, a mother's love is precious. A mother's love is put there by creation. It is not put there by salvation. The most unsaved mother loves her children. That was by creation, folks. All Christ did was come to redeem creation because creation fell. And although it's only in Christ that we reach the nobleness of who we are, because we've never been in what is called a saved state previous to our fall. Eve didn't know what it was to fail. She was a perfect woman. She was made beautiful. She was made perfect. She couldn't think wrong. She couldn't do wrong. She was the perfect wife. She was the perfect mother. She never knew how to blow it until that day that she was deceived. And she didn't do it intentionally. She was literally deceived. But nothing changed. She was a fantastic mother. Now, how many know that in all the religions of the world today, going all the way back long before Christ, I wonder how many of you understand that every religion has a Madonna and child in it? Every religion has the symbol of a mother and child. The Catholic Church in the 3rd century A.D. took that emblem that was universal in the Egyptian religion, the Assyrian religion, the Babylonian religion, and all the cults and religions of that day. They each had a mother and child, and they all came out of the same root word, and they'd all been around for the same time, and it was worldwide. The Catholic Church simply said, this is now Mary and her son. They didn't create anything new. They simply took what was already out there in the world and brought it in and said, this is now Mary. So other people, knowing that it wasn't Mary, said, they didn't tell the truth, therefore it's not the first and only religion. And then religious views vary, and everybody and anybody that knows anything knows that the Madonna and child had been around for thousands of years before the Savior ever came. Hyslop wrote a book about 150 years ago called The Two Babylons, in which he traces to every Babylonian religion in the world, traces the Madonna and child back long before there ever was a church. And he traces it back to Nimrod. Supposedly Nimrod in Genesis chapter 11 decided that he wanted fame and made himself a little god, and he married a woman whom he called the Queen of Heaven. And she had a son, and they built a religion around it. And this is now almost what is taught in every major denomination today in Christian America. That all of the Madonna child and all of these things came out of a Nimrod Babylonian religion. And as good as that sounds, folks, it falls far short of reality. In the last 100 years, they have uncovered the archaeological digs in Babylon and in Assyria, and uncovering the libraries and uncovering the ancient things. They went back far before Nimrod, and there was still the Madonna and child. The oldest writings that we now have that are over 5,000 years old, nearly 6,000 years old, the oldest hymn that is ever recorded is to the mother and child. Her name was Eve. Her child, Cain. How could she do that? How could the early world have blown it so bad? Genesis 3:15, Yahweh said, I will put enmity between thee, he's talking to Satan now, I'm going to put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman. Now he's talking here not as a female, but as a mother. I'm going to put enmity, there's going to be a hatred between a mother and Satan. And between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. And what he was declaring here was that a woman would bring forth the promised seed, and this promised seed would destroy this serpent who had deceived woman in the garden. Eve heard this promise. She believed that she was that woman. So she could not wait until she had a child. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And if you notice from that point on, she was called Eve. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from Yahweh. Can you see that? In the Hebrew, I have received the promised Messiah. Cain was born and she labeled him as the coming promised Messiah, and she began to carry on the religion of Yahweh, believing that she was that mother, and this was her son. And Cain, in his great fall, as he left the garden area, as he fled after killing Abel, took this Madonna child, he being that promised child, became arrogant, defied Yahweh, and went into Babylon, which was the land of Nod. If you look further, you'll find that Cain went to the land of Nod. In the ancient Hebrew, and in those ancient days, that was called the land of Babylon. The earliest records we have of a man that came down from a higher plateau. And in the ancient documents, he was called a Yahwehist. And he came forth, and he came and he began to teach a new religion, that he was the promised seed, and built a foundation around himself. And that's why in the book of Jude, in the New Testament, the Bible says all the world has gone the way of Cain. We're looking for human messiahs, looking for human elements, because a mother who was deceived heard the promise in true faith, but misapplied it. Every mother desires to see in her children something beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. How many mothers in Mexico name their sons Jesus? Jesus. Because somewhere they want to reflect that he will be just like Jesus. He'll be a savior. Mothers dream like that, you know. It came out of their innermost spirit. They can no more help themselves than anyone else. All these things go back in tradition, and we wonder, where'd all this stuff come from? And we sit there and we blast it and we poo-poo it and we set up sides against it and don't even realize it all came right out of the garden. It started as a Mother's Day story. Mother's Day began with Eve. Mother's Day began in what she believed to her first son. I have gotten me the Messiah. The religious faith has ever been, and you can go into any religion of this world today and you will find a messianic theme. It isn't just Christian. It isn't just Jewish. It's in every religion. And if our missionaries were trained to understand that, instead of blasting the religions, we'd simply go in and tell them we found out who the real Messiah is. Christ never tried to change anything. He simply said, I came to fulfill. I came to prove to you this is He. I am He that it was speaking about. All religions took the prophetic scriptures and built around them. When you leave Christ out of it, you have a perverted religion. Because then it exalts man. And that's what we have with this. Eve was the mother of all living. Eve contained a thought, a principle, that life would continue on and through the mother would come the seed of salvation. And to this day, Miriam in the New Testament received a new appellation. What does it say? Blessed art thou among women. She is one of the greatest women that has ever lived in the history of the world. Why? Because she was chosen to be the mother of our Savior. Blessed. What Eve thought that she was going to get, Mary got. Mary fulfilled the scripture that Eve interpreted for herself. Eve took it upon herself. Mary didn't even recognize it till the angel gave it to her. But I want to ask a question. What did Father see in this girl who was called sorrow? When hope comes, how many know that your sorrow is not hopeless? And just as a mother brings forth new life, and so in Christ does He birth in us new hope. And this hope is promised more so through a mother than ever than through the father, because the mother is the epitome of love. You see, the word life and the word love in the Bible are synonyms. To be alive is to be in love. To be in love is to be alive. Ask anybody who's having their first puppy love. They're alive. Ask anybody who's in love. I'm alive. Ask anybody who isn't in love. I'm dead. Life and love go together. Eve was the mother of all living. But through her came this little
sorrow girl Miriam, who brought forth the birth of the promised one who was to come. All of this was done through a mother. A mother that by creative genius, Father created within her everything that would ever be beautiful. And for all of the beauty that's here today, you got it from Eve, and it's redeemed in Christ. And just as sure as Eve was beautiful before the fall, you are guaranteed that in Christ, as you are being restored from the fall, you will be restored in all of your beauty. Abraham marries Sarah. They have a child in their old age, an impossible situation, both their bodies being dead. He's nearly 100 years old. She's not far behind. All of a sudden, the Bible tells us that she has a child naturally. It is not natural for an old woman with wrinkles who is past her cycle to bring forth a child. And even when Father said it to Abraham, Sarah's listening in the background laughing. How can this be? She laughed. She thought it was the funniest thing she ever heard. Me? I'm too old. What do you mean I'm going to have a child? No way. But she did. What's his name? Isaac. What's Isaac mean? Laughter. What did she do? She laughed. Her child came forth bearing her nature. I don't know how many of you know this or not, but if you read the story after Isaac was born, something happened to Sarah's body. Bible said all of a sudden her body was youthful again. Back when she walked down to Egypt with her husband Abraham, Abraham got scared that Pharaoh, who was a good-looking young hunk, might even fall in love with his wife, and he didn't want to create a problem, so he just said, "This is my sister." Y'all know the story, but what you don't realize was the whole thing came about because something metamorphosized inside of Sarah. She had been restored to the fountain of youth. Her beauty had been restored. After the birth of Isaac, there was a restoration. A mother is restored. And Isaac, as he grows up, although he had a mother that was nearly 100 years old, she looked like she was 25. She had youth. She had energy. To this day, preachers have been amazed at these stories in the Bible and can't figure them out and try to analyze them naturally. And how many know when you do that, you get in a lot of trouble? There's a big church in L.A. today. Some of you probably know who I'm going to speak about. And he and his wife have gone over to Mamre and brought back what is called the water of fertility or the water of life into their church. And there they restore people back to their youth. Both of them now being in age, probably close to 75 or 80, looking about 40. The only difference is that they had to go in and medically have it done. But they don't want anybody to know. Sarah didn't go to a doctor to make it happen. Somewhere in the divine processes of hope and encouragement concerning the promised seed, Father evidenced it by bringing forth the Son, manifested new life in the mother. Well, there's always been a mother-child binding here, a coming together. Most people don't even understand it, that a father is bonds towards the daughter and the mother bonds towards the son. The son would always rather be with the mother than with the father, and the daughter would always rather be with the father than with the mother, except under strained circumstances because of the way they were raised. But Father did that deliberately. And if you understand why, it's because the male side has what the female side needs, and vice versa. And you will cause the family to grow up normal if the wholeness is there. But if you take a strong matriarchal family, then you have domineering women and wimpy men, and eventually culminating in lesbianism and homosexuality, based upon what comes out of the parents' home. Motherhood is that area, that cornerstone of biblical teaching, whereby, believe it or not, Father never did create a church. He created a home, and in the home He put a mother, and the mother is in charge of the home. Why? Because in mother instinctly is this love bond, this desire for wholeness, a desire for things to be right. It's still in every mother. I thank Father that somebody in this nation a while back decided to make it every year a day of Thanksgiving. Every one of you women here ought to be proud that you're a woman. Realize your heritage, that what you have by natural birth you got from Eve. And because of Mary, the Savior came, and through Him restores your youth and restores your health, and is coming again to receive you unto Himself. The story begins with a woman, a mother. And you know, almost every man remembers his mother more than he remembers his father. And every man has a desire to fall in love with a woman and not with a man. It's designed by creation to be that way. There's something about a woman that when Father made them, the word Eve stands out. It is His name stamped upon your nature. The essence of Father. One more letter upon Eve's name, and her name itself would have been Yahweh. She got the last three letters, just the first one missing. Eve in Hebrew is not E-V-E, it's H-W-H. Which means that through the woman, Father's nature lives through her. So you women, because you feel deeper, Paul or Peter writes to the saints and he said, give all due respects to the female, knowing that she is the weaker sex. That's a bad translation in King James. There is no such thing as weaker sex. When you tell a woman that she's the weaker sex, that's when she says she wants men to have babies. Because that's when most of them would become babies. When it says that she is the weaker sex, it simply means in Hebrew and in Greek, she is the more sensitive. She feels deeper. She can sense things easier and faster. Men don't think with their intuition, they think with their brain. And Father made that to be that way. Women see specifics and males see generalities. That's why it's so hard to get something specific out of a male. Some of you women don't seem to understand that yet. You try to change your man, you can't change him. They're not supposed to be changed. They're supposed to be loved, as long as they love the woman. I'm getting myself in trouble the more I talk, and I know that. Let me close this message by giving you some of the other first. Eve was the first woman on earth to ever be assailed by Satan. That's why womanhood is so assailed. It was said over the centuries that you could always tell if a nation is going downhill by looking at its mothers. When a mother no longer cares about life and no longer cares about virtue, the civilization is ancient history. The fall of a nation lays in the hands of a woman, and Satan knows that. And so what he's got to do is destroy woman. And if he can't destroy woman, then he's got to destroy the value of a woman, and he usually gets men to do that. And it's time that men come back today in Christianity and restore that vision of a true, rightful place of respecting womanhood. And when woman is put back on the throne of her own dignity, woman will once again be fulfilled and act like they're supposed to act. That's part of man's calling to woman. If every son would give back to his mother what she deserves. Well, there were some other things here that I was going to give. I'm just going to close with that.
I just want to leave you mothers today with the impression that Eve, being the greatest mother, and Mary, being the greatest mother spiritually, that all of you are either in one or the other, because you've all come to know by natural birth, first Adam, and by second birth, the second Adam. And consequently, you have to be connected to those two mothers. But everything that's in them is in you. And I offer to you today the hope and restoration that Satan's desire for womanhood is destroyed. Would you like to know why Satan works so hard against you, women? I'll tell you. It's found in the name. Remember that in Genesis 2, as Adam wakes up from his sleep, and he looks at woman, and he said, "Thou art a she, for from Ish were you taken." Adam was an Ish man, which is different than an Adam man. Adam was both an Adam man, and he was an Ish man. You've got to understand in Hebrew, an Ish man is not an Adam man. Adam is not an Ish man, but Adam was an Ish man. And he looks at his wife, calls her a she. Where did she come from? She came out of him, isn't that right? When you look into the prophecies about Lucifer, you'll find out that one of his titles was Ish. Isaiah 14, is this the Ish? Is this the man that destroyed the nations in the days of the judgment of Satan? Most people have never figured out why Satan was ever called an Ish man. Well, you must remember that in the original creation of man, where woman was within him, he was both male and female, or she was taken out. The reason that angels do not marry at their level is because they are male-female totality. Adam had the female part removed, and thus we have a race. Satan still had the female within him, and Father would not separate. And he saw the love that was going on between the male and the female. He saw this marvelous work of creation, and he could not handle it. And Satan has a vendetta to fight everything that Father is doing. And simply by virtue of every woman being in a she, being a part of Eve, invites the wrath of Satan on you. Because you have something he can never have or feel or experience because of the judgments that have come upon him. And in Christ, you are restored. You will now become the emblem by which he's destroyed. Let's once again just close with Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Does not say between thee and the man. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know all Satan can do is bruise your heel? If somebody steps on your foot, it will not kill you. But if somebody smashes your brains in, you're dead. Father said to the woman, Satan will bruise your heel. He'll kick at your feet. He'll kick in your daily walk. But you are going to smash him in his head. Part of the divine call upon a mother is the right by divine prophecy to step on Satan's. Do you know who the greatest intercessors are? Women. Give me a woman any day to pray. A woman can do more prayer in 3 hours than a man can in 2 months. I don't know why, it just happens. I can't tell you how many times during the various wars that we've had of thousands of stories of mothers who woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and knew that their son was in danger, and fell on their knees and began to intercede, and their son would write home and say, "Mom, you don't know, but at this particular time," and he didn't know that his mother was praying for him, This particular time, bullets were even, and everybody around me was being shot up. And all of a sudden, the light came upon me, and I found my way out of the trouble. And I don't know how, but I was spared. My life was saved. Oh, yes, folks. A mother's love. Oh, yes, they can attack your children. And all they can do is kick at your heel. But if you understand your divine right and call, mothers, I say to you, you have the right to smash him in the head. And Christ said by his very death on Calvary, you have a right as a woman, by divine right, to say, Satan, you are a liar. You cannot touch my family. You cannot win over my children. I am going to claim them in your name. And I'm going to step on your head through the blood of the Lamb in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And as you pray and intercede for those of your family, you will see the blessings come upon you. I bless you, mothers, today. I bless you in the name of Yeshua. I declare to you that you are highly loved and honored of our Heavenly Father. May you, mothers, today take home the thought from this assembly that you're special. Tomorrow, as you celebrate national-wise that divine calling, may you realize, I was made by Father. I have a design. I have a purpose. And in His eyes, I am beautiful. Whether anyone recognizes it or not, I accept it in Him. And I'm being restored through Christ, my Savior. There is coming a day in which every one of you will look back and laugh. As Sarah, you'll be brought to a place of laughter, for nothing is more natural than a mother's joy. That's what you were made for. Eve was made to live. Miriam was not made for sorrow. And through Christ, we are redeemed. Let us stand for the blessing.
Yivarekka Adonai v'yishmarekka. Amen. Can you hear us on? Yair Adonai panav aleka v'kunecha. Amen. Can you hear us on? Yisah Adonai panav aleka v'yasem lecha shalom. Amen. Can you hear us on? B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach sa shalom. Amen. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, let us all say Amen. Shabbat Shalom.